Chantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Maybe I Will by Melanie Jacobson. Narrated by Georgina Marie and Eric Michael Summerer. Chapter 1. Chloe. It's not every day that your best friend tries to ruin your life, but Ellie is trying hard. She stands in the middle of our apartment amid the boxes she's packed for her move, giving me the fakest smile ever, trying to convince both of us she's giving me great news. I narrow my eyes at her. I'm sorry? Who is moving in? Her smile wobbles. It'll be fine. You'll see. Dylan's changed. How? Magic? Her brother is the last person I want moving in across the hall. You said you'd make sure the new neighbor was cool. I know it's hard to believe, but 6 months in Napa worked a miracle on him, and I got you the best ever roommate, didn't I? You're going to love living with Annika. Annika has been living in the one bedroom across the hall for the last year, but now she's taking Ellie's place with me. I like Annika a lot, but Ellie and I have been roommates since college, and when we graduated and moved back to New Orleans, we moved into one of the buildings her family owned in the Bywater neighborhood. The apartment had been above a cafe that eventually became a nightclub belonging to her now fiancé, Miles, who's the reason she's packed up and leaving me. But I like Miles, so I'm not holding their marriage against either of them, which is pretty big of me. Annika's awesome, I acknowledge, but I don't want to get Annika as a roommate if it means getting Dylan as a neighbor. Dylan and I have been enemies almost as long as Ellie and I have been friends. He came to visit her at college and always acted like a brat. 19-year-old guys are the worst, and even though it's been 7 years, he's been the same way every time I see him, which is even more often since Ellie and I moved back. Come on, Chloe, I couldn't tell him no. I plop onto the couch and scowl. Why does he even want to move in anyway? He's not my biggest fan either. You know why. Free rent? Bingo. Don't be mad. She sits on my lap and hugs my head. Say you forgive me. I pinch her until she yelps and hops off. I just barely forgave you for getting married. You're going to have to give me a minute to process getting Dylan as a neighbor. And by minute, I mean until he moves out again. It won't be that bad. She peeks into an open packing box and looks around for her Sharpie to label it. It's behind your ear. Right, thanks. She plucks it out, uncaps it, and writes bathroom on the side. He's different when we talk now. I mean, even the fact that he's been calling once a week since he's been gone is new. That is different. Dylan and Ellie get along, but I wouldn't say they're close. Not much in common between serious professional Ellie and her hard-partying brother. Besides, she adds, recapping the marker, once he finds a new job, he'll work the opposite schedule from you. You'll be at the newspaper all day, and he'll be at a restaurant all night. You'll never see each other. That's true. It does make me feel a tiny bit better. Why do you even move back without a job? The wedding, she says. He refuses to let anyone else cater my rehearsal dinner. But even then, I'm not sure he's really ready to come back yet. He says he's been doing lots of hiking and thinking out there, and that Annika's parents are the best. Her parents were so nice to do that. They didn't know what they were getting into. It didn't surprise anyone that Annika's parents invited Dylan to live with them when they found out he was going out to Napa to train under a chef there. None of us has met her parents, but Annika clearly learned her ridiculous generosity from them. Cut him a break, Ellie says. Annika says they liked having him there. It's sweet and he's pretty charming to his elders. He loves it there too. He'd probably stay longer if it weren't for my wedding. You're getting married, I grin at her. She never gets tired of revisiting this fact. I'm getting married. She beams, every bit of her love for Miles shining in her smile. He's the same way.
I'd say it's gross, but I'm too happy for her. I love them together.
You think Annika will be here soon? I glance at my watch. I'm worried about traffic. We're driving to Ellie's parents' house, where the 3 days of wedding festivities will begin, starting with the rehearsal dinner tonight. Annika and I will go back over for a spa day tomorrow, which Ellie wanted instead of a bachelorette party. It feels like a perfectly good waste of Bourbon Street if you ask me and Annika. It was probably the threat of all our highly inappropriate party favors that made Ellie rule it out anyway. Spa pampering? It's a sacrifice, but someone's got to do it. We'll sleep at her parents' place tomorrow night, wedding brunch on Saturday morning, and then primping and making Ellie feel special when she marries Miles in a small sunset ceremony in her parents' gorgeous yard.
She'll be here any minute, Ellie says. She doesn't run late too often. And Chloe?
Yes, ma'am?
Hear Dylan out tonight. It's going to be okay. I nod, keeping my not-at-all-resolved concerns to myself. No doubt she sprung his move-in on me now for exactly that reason, to keep my whining to a minimum. Annika walks in the front door without knocking. She's been doing this since she moved in across the hall. Honestly, having her move into Ellie's room isn't going to feel that different. She practically lives here already.
What's up, ladies? Are we ready to roll?
Can I ride to the rehearsal dinner with you, Chloe? I'm meeting Jonah there. He's coming from the studio.
That works, I say. Except I like your car better.
Annika is a supermodel. A literal supermodel. Like on the cover of every magazine at the checkout stand, in every runway show, and in at least every third cosmetic brand at Nordstrom. You'd never know it if someone didn't flat out tell you, though. She's always dressed like she came from working at a vegan cafe. She pretty much only gets glammed up for work. She flew in yesterday from a campaign shoot in Paris. She makes the kind of money that could buy her a house in the Garden District with Beyoncé and Jay-Z on one side and Sandra Bullock on the other. But she lives low budget because she's saving it all to launch a big travel show. Or almost all. Her one indulgence is her car. A dead, sexy electric sports car.
You're right, she says. I'll drive.
We chat about her Paris trip until my phone buzzes with an email from my boss. Hang on, I say. I've been waiting on this email. From Steve Biggers to Chloe Morell, re Wind Farms.
Creative thinking, but don't think you're ready for this one yet. Plan on covering the zoning meeting on Tuesday. Keep the pitches coming.
I drop my phone in my lap and stare out the window. We're halfway across the causeway, a 20-mile bridge over Lake Pontchartrain, and I watch the gray water fly past us.
Not the news you were hoping for,
Annika guesses. No. My editor turned down my pitch for an article I want to write on the possibility of wind farms in the Gulf. I get to cover a zoning meeting instead. Sorry, friend. I drop my head against the buttery soft leather headrest. It's okay. I'm sure if you were my editor, you'd give me all the best stories. Corruption, murder, drug operations.
If that's what would make you happy.
Her tone hints at a laugh. Better than zoning meetings.
I'm glad you're bloodthirsty. We can watch all the true crime shows.
All of them, I agree. Forensic files for days, and Ellie won't make me put on Say Yes to the Dress instead.
You going to miss her?
I sigh. So much. Maybe even her stupid shows sometimes. I turn my head slightly so I can look at her. But I'm excited to have you move in.
Me too. I'm used to other models as roommates. It was weird rattling around on my own. If it'll help, I'll force you to watch Say Yes to the Dress every now and then.
I'm going to get over that real quick, so don't worry about it.
She clears her throat. How are you feeling about our new neighbor?
You can say his name. He's not Voldemort.
Dylan. I wrinkle my nose. It's practically a reflex. Pretty stoked, then? She says, smiling.
His parents own the building, so it's not like I have a choice here. And I'm not sure I hate him enough to move out of my place.
Why do you hate each other anyway? She asks. I was only here about 3 months before he moved to Napa, so I didn't get to know him super well.
Well enough to tell him to move in with your parents.
True, she says. But I trust Miles and Ellie, and I got a good vibe from Dylan.
Annika is Miles' best friend from when he was at the peak of his pop star fame and living in L.A. They have each other's backs, the way Ellie and I do. If Miles vouches for someone, that's enough for Annika. In some ways, the only surprise is that Miles vouched for Dylan. Dylan has been fairly cool toward Miles since Ellie started dating him. Miles accidentally ruined Ellie's life when they were teenagers, but to his credit, he didn't mean to. It's a long story, but basically, she fangirled over him when he was a finalist on Starstruck when they'd filmed his hometown performance here. The producers kept showing her during the broadcast. He was a dumb 16-year-old kid, and an offhand remark he'd made dismissing her teary-eyed crush, "That's so not my thing," had turned her into one of the first viral memes. He had no way of knowing that the fallout afterwards would shape Ellie's life against her will for years. It was Dylan who told him. And it's Dylan who might still be the only one holding a grudge about it, which is interesting. Even though he and Ellie aren't or weren't close, maybe he has more protective brotherly instincts than I would have guessed.
The guy can cook, I say. I'll give him that. I'll focus on that tonight and not worry about the living across the hall thing. Except I think I'm going to plan a series of elaborate pranks to get him to move out of his apartment. Maybe our building is suddenly about to get a ghost.
Not your style, Scooby-Doo.
Roach infestation? I try.
Roaches don't respect borders. And then you'll be the victim of my true crime. And everyone will be so sad you're dead except for me because no more roaches.
That was all my ideas for pranks.
Guess you'll have to figure out how to get along with a neighbor you're never going to see. I have faith in you.
I have faith in me, too. It's Dylan I have zero confidence in.
Chapter 2. Dylan. Look at those gorgeous breasts, I say into the oven. You're everything I dreamed of and more. Did you get into my dad's weed? A female voice says behind me. I turn from the roasting quail to smile at one of the world's most famous supermodels standing there trying not to laugh at me. Hey, Annika. It's good to see you, Dylan. She rounds the kitchen island to give me one of her warm hugs. I return it. This is from your dad. And this is from your mom. I step back, frown, pat her cheek, and say, You're too skinny. When are you coming home? She laughs. That's pretty good. You almost have the Dutch accent right. No weed, by the way. Plenty of wine, though. That's what happens when you're living in a vineyard. No complaints. How are my parents, anyway? We chat about them for several minutes as I prep a sweet onion mousseline for a crab galette. Annika speaks to her parents often, but I fill her in on the day-to-day. They miss you, I conclude, but they're happy you're doing well.
Sounds like you loved it there. You happy to be back in New Orleans? She asks.
I pause, trying to decide how I feel about it. That's one of the things her dad, David, made me practice, considering questions and giving truthful answers. She smiles.
That's a David Jansen pause right there. Let me guess, he made you work on mindfulness?
I grin at her. I call him Obi-Wan now. But yes, I was considering the question.
And?
I'm glad to be back. I wasn't thrilled about going to Napa, but it ended up being the best thing for me. Few people outside of the Redbird restaurant knew I'd left in disgrace, banished by the head chef, Charles Benoit. His ultimatum?
work for his friend until I got my head on straight, or Chef Charles wouldn't write me a recommendation to work anywhere in New Orleans. You got good training? Annika asks. I did. That was true. Thanks again for hooking me up with a place to stay. If your parents hadn't rented that room out to me, I could never have done it. I owe you forever. From what I hear, you're about to have plenty of chances to repay me. When do you move in? I glance up. Ellie told you, and Chloe knows. A small laugh escapes me. How'd she take it? About as well as you'd expect. Plots to scare you out of the place with either a fake ghost or roach infestation. I grimace. Why are you moving across the hall from her when you know she's not a fan? Can't beat the price, I say. Which is true. My parents are giving me a break on rent until my finances are back in order. I have a plan, but it's going to take a while to get everything working. And I didn't feel like living in a frat house anymore. I'd been sharing a house with friends in the Marigny before everything fell apart at Redbird, but I'd gotten used to the peace and quiet at the Jansen's place. Since I'm going to be living in your crossfire, you want to explain why you two have beef? Chloe didn't tell you? She says you've been a douche canoe since day one, and you've never changed. I sigh and reach for a bowl of sunchokes that need to be sliced and roasted for the salad. That's pretty much the whole story. Her eyebrow goes up. You were annoying once, and she never got over it? Doesn't sound like Chloe. No, I was very rude the first time I met her. I visited Ellie at LSU and stayed on their couch, and Chloe came in and... I don't know. I was 19. She was cute. I opened my mouth and a bunch of stupid came out. And it has ever since. I'd go back in time and slap some maturity into myself if I could. The crappy part was that I hadn't been like that just to Chloe, though. Up until Charles sent me packing, it had pretty much been everyone, everywhere, all the time. But especially women. That had been the worst thing to sit with while I was in Napa with nothing but time to think. I'd welcomed the grueling days under Chef Michael as a break from my thoughts until I'd started making some peace with them. Peace with the realization that the Dylan who said and did so many careless things was a past me. His only purpose now was to remind me not to be an epic tool anymore. There's not much worse stupid than a 19-year-old guy stupid, Annika said. I point my knife at her. Correct. I go back to slicing. But you're not 19 anymore. You're... Ellie's barely a year older than me, like 14 months. So you're 26. She frowns. You and Chloe are the same age. Pretty much. I think she's 6 months older. Weird. I always thought you were a lot younger from the way she talks. I shrug. A guy at 19 and a girl at 20 are more like 10 years apart, maturity-wise. Guess she doesn't realize you grew up. Annika's tone is sympathetic, but I shake my head. She wasn't wrong. I hadn't grown up, but I've started to. I guess that by your hair. The tips of my ears go hot. When I left New Orleans, I was rocking some bleached tips. They went so well with the diamond stud earrings I got because I was very, very stupid when I was 21. The bleach tips are gone. So are the earrings. Giving up my Miami party boy look. She leans against the counter and gives me a once-over. It was more Euro trash than Miami, but yes, I like this look for you better. I had to cut my brown hair pretty short to get the blonde out, and it's finally gotten back to a good length. Long enough to need some product, but not enough to get in my way while I'm working. Thanks. If you ever see me with a popped collar, you're authorized to intervene. She laughs. Maybe being neighbors will give you a chance to show Chloe that all this new beauty isn't skin deep. I doubt it. I sweep the sunchokes into a bowl, drizzle them with olive oil, hit them with some salt, pepper, and garlic, and toss them. But if she and I can call a truce... I'll be happy with that. I'd given up my fantasies of Chloe a long time ago. I mean, the first thing I'd ever said to her was, "So, is that a feminist haircut or something?" For the record, Chloe keeps her hair short, around chin length, but it's full of big, loopy curls the color of bitter chocolate. It's the coolest hair I've ever seen on a girl, but my 19-year-old mouth did not say that. I'd done the verbal equivalent of snapping her bra for attention, and my dumb monkey brain had kept doubling down, digging myself deeper every time I saw her. That tug toward her is always underneath the other noise in my brain, so I've never been around Chloe and not been a complete tool. I'm not thrilled about being neighbors because I don't know how to talk to her like a normal human. I open my mouth and my inner bro dude comes out. I tried to bury him in a Napa Valley river, and I worry one look at Chloe and those curls will bring him back. But I can't pass up 3 months of free rent while I'm getting my plans off the ground.
I didn't know that, Dylan. The only version I know of you is the one right now, Annika says. I like it. I'll do my part to negotiate peace.
I already owe you more favors than a Mardi Gras parade has beads. How about if I start repaying them by being a practically invisible neighbor?
Ooh,
she says, her eyes sparkling.
Like a vampire? Only coming out at night? New Orleans is the city for it.
I snag a garlic bulb and sniff it. Sorry, I love garlic too much to become undead. I was thinking more like staying out of y'all's way so much that you wonder if I ever even moved in.
You don't have to do that. Come and go as you please. Don't stress.
She pushes away from the counter.
I'm going to check on your mom and see if she needs any help. Looking forward to this food, Dylan. It smells amazing.
Thanks. It's nice when a server sends back compliments to the chef, but there's something about cooking for people you care about and hearing them say they love it. I hustle for the next hour. I have a couple of buddies coming over to serve so I can eat with everyone else, but I've had all day to prep and don't need help with the cooking.
Dylan?
It's Ellie calling from outside the kitchen. No! I know that wheedling tone of voice. I told her she couldn't come in while I was working, that she'd have to wait and be surprised.
Please? It smells amazing.
Nope, I call back. She heaves a loud sigh.
Fine, but your server friends are here.
Awesome. Send them in. And do not come with them, I add as I retrieve the sunflower seed yogurt for the sunchoke salad. Tyrone and Leaf walk in, smiling.
It's been a minute since I saw you, Tyrone says. You got a new look.
Pretty, Leaf says, meaning the opposite. Leaf has hair bleach flowing through his veins, so no doubt he doesn't think me toning down is an upgrade.
Good to see you guys. How's life?
Good. Redbird's calm but boring since you left, Tyrone says.
The house is still fire. You're moving back, right? Leaf asks.
I shake my head. Going lone wolf. Let me walk you through the menu, then we'll catch up. Come see the setup. I walk them to the deck where my mom set up tables with drinks and appetizers. We're expecting 20 people for the dinner. Ellie and Miles are keeping everything intimate. Even the wedding only has 100 guests, which is tiny for New Orleans. Everyone here loves a party, and when you're from Louisiana, your community is huge. Kin, neighbors, friends, friends who are practically kin. 100 is tinier still for Miles, whose fame had all kinds of people clamoring for an invitation. But he insisted that this was his and Ellie's day, and they should only have people they like there. They don't even have a wedding party either, really. Chloe is Ellie's only bridesmaid, and Annika is Miles's best woman. I lead Tyrone and Leaf to the dining tables, then back to the kitchen to brief them on the 5-course meal they're serving. Plate the sunchoke salad and dress it like this, I say, showing them exactly how I want each salad sauced. Tyrone steals a taste from an abandoned spoon and nods approvingly.
Looks like you picked up some tricks while you were gone.
A few, I say. I'm going to get changed. I'll be back down in a few minutes, right as everyone else starts showing up. I run up to my room, although it's never felt too much like mine. Our parents moved into this place after I started culinary school, but they keep rooms for Ellie and me. I trade my gray t-shirt and jeans for some black pants, a light blue collared shirt, and gray checkered jacket.
I stop by the kitchen to show Tyrone and Leaf how to serve the crab galette and check on the quail, but they still need to roast for another 30 minutes. Low and slow is the only way to make perfect poultry. I hired these two guys in particular because they both have kitchen experience too, so I trust them to plate it well, leaving me free to wander out to the large deck in the backyard.
"Honey, I was coming to drag you out," Mom says, taking me by the hand.
"I told you I'd be out here more than I'm in there."
"I know, and you're a peach for cooking up this dinner, but you really didn't have to."
"Mom, come on," I say, pulling her into a side hug. "It's already killing me to have someone else cooking for the wedding. I had to do at least this much." She reaches up and pats my cheek.
"You're a good brother."
I give her a tight smile. I haven't always been, but I'm trying to be now. She leads me toward my adopted family at one of the linen-covered tables. Miss Mary, the former owner of the Cafe Miles converted, her husband, Mr. Douglas, and three of their grown grandkids.
"Boy, come here and give Miss Mary some sugar,"
Miss Mary cries when she spots me. Her restaurant was around long before I was born, and I'd spent countless hours in its kitchen learning her tricks. I grin and hurry to do her bidding, dropping a kiss on her dark brown cheek.
"How do you look younger than the last time I saw you?"
She cackles.
"I'd accuse you of flirting, but I know it's true. I do look good. That's what retirement does for you. Come on and sit down here now."
"Hey, Mr. Douglas," I say, holding my hand out to her husband. He stands to shake it and pulls me into a hug and a hearty backslap.
"Good to see you, boy. You heard my wife. Pull up a seat."
I do, asking them about their RV adventures over the last year. As I listen to Miss Mary tell me about how she's finished her first murder mystery manuscript about a retired couple who keeps stumbling upon murders in RV parks, I scan the rest of the faces coming in. Miles and Ellie move from table to table greeting everyone, while Mom and Dad welcome each new arrival coming in through the balloon-wrapped side gate. Annika sits with Jonah on one side and Chloe on the other. Chloe is laughing at something Jonah said, and I take a moment to study her. She's taking advantage of the late spring warmth in a flowery pink dress with thin straps. I don't think of Chloe and pink going together, but it looks pretty on her, or she looks pretty in it. Her eyes shine the way they do when she's about to laugh, and her hair looks extra brown? Shiny? I frown, trying to figure out what's different about it.
"You two been getting at it?"
Miss Mary asks. I blink.
"Excuse me?
You and Chloe already sniping at each other? Your mama says you're moving in across the hall. That ought to be interesting."
I shake my head. "No sniping. I got back in town yesterday. This is the first time I've seen her." Miss Mary studies me for a couple of seconds.
"Mm-hmm. Well, catch me up on life before you have to run off to the kitchen again."
"Don't say that like you would have let anyone else cook for Ellie," I say, smiling at Miss Mary. "If it wasn't me, who'd be cooking this rehearsal dinner?" "You, that's who, and you know it." Mr. Douglas's laugh booms out.
"You know that's right. Y'all act like you can't trip over a chef in this city every time you turn around."
Miss Mary and I grin at each other, understanding that some things need to be made with love by your own two hands. Like your sister's rehearsal dinner. Soon, Dad taps on a glass to get everyone's attention, and dinner is officially underway. Tyrone and Leaf push out two carts full of salad plates and serve the guests as Dad makes the introductions, and I put the names and faces of Miles' family together.
"You did good, Dylan,"
Miss Mary says as she takes a bite of her salad.
"Real good."
"Amen,"
Mr. Douglas adds. I smile, but watch Ellie as she takes her first bite. She chews, smiles, and glances around until her eyes rest on me.
"So good," she mouths.
The rest of the dinner goes fine, with me heading into the kitchen toward the end of each course to make sure the next course is ready for service. Tyrone and Leaf shoo me out every time. I try not to steal glances at Chloe with each new dish.
She's an adventurous eater, but she's always been picky about food, and although I'll never admit it to her, she's pretty much always right. We move from the
sample complete. Ready to continue?